this time and for this day. We thank you for our lives that are found in you. Father, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hi, how are y'all?
Morning.
Y'all, that's right. My Southern's coming out. Wasn't that great today? It's cool outside. It's so nice. You know, it feels like fall. I'm like, all right. One of my favorite seasons of the year. In fact, it was so great that we overslept 30 minutes.
Yay.
Yay, that's right. So, Maria, wasn't the crazy morning that you had, but it was a little hectic getting here. But always worth coming, isn't it?
Yes,
absolutely. The title for this sermon is I Want to Know Christ. So there you go, Jack. You got it. By the way, I sent you a link. Did you get that link last night? It was a YouTube link.
Yeah.
It's Tim Hawkins, and he adapts one of the Eagles songs to On Christ the Solid Rock We Stand. It's pretty cool.
Amazing grace.
That's right. That's what we just heard, wasn't it? Yeah. A peaceful, easy feeling.
Thank you.
Okay. So when I read the scriptures today, you know, for today, I didn't read them just today. You understand? I started this a while ago. But when I read them, the ones for today, a song popped into my head. It wasn't that song, by the way. It's a different song. And I'm going to explain it to you before I sing it to you, okay? Or I'm going to attempt to sing it for you, all right? But you see, when I was a kid, and some of you have heard this before, we lived at the Brevard Music Center, and because my father worked there. And so, it was fun, you know, but as one of the kids there, you know, they would draft us into being in things like operas and musicals, you know. And if you ask my son, he and I share this thing that we don't like musicals. But I was in a few musicals, and so it kind of ingrains into your head. And one of them that I was in was The King and I. And I heard this song over and over and over again. And we had to sing it over and over and over because we were part of the chorus. So I'm going to attempt to sing it for you. Getting to know you, getting to know all about you. Getting to like you, getting to hope you like me. Getting to know you, getting to feel free and easy. When I am with you, getting to know what to say. Haven't you noticed? Suddenly I'm bright and breezy. Because of all the beautiful and new things I'm learning about you day by day. Okay, I'll sit down. But see, you understand that when I hear Paul write, I want to know Christ, that's the first thing that pops into my head. After 50 years, it still popped into my head. Because that's how long ago that was. You understand? But it brought up a question for me. Obviously, sermons tend to do that, you know. And that is, how do you get to know someone? Yeah, I mean, we don't think a whole lot about that. Because, you know, we know people and we work with them and we do things all the time. And we don't think much about it. But there's something to getting to know people. It doesn't happen instantly, and there's maybe an exception to that. And there are some people with these outgoing, gregarious personalities, just you can tell that they love people and they want to know more about them. And so sometimes there are people you can quickly be comfortable with almost instantly. It's like I've known you my whole life. And as an example, I think of Matt Smith, the contractor who redid our church for us. And Matt's the kind of guy that you can meet instantly and know that he likes you and he wants to talk and he's just a good guy. But he's a unique personality. And not everybody is quite as open as that when they first meet, you understand. And so it can take a lot of us longer to get to know each other, you know, than that. People will say that about me because I don't talk much. I don't say a lot. is another thing that I share with my son. You know, we just don't have a lot of words in us, you know, that's the problem, you know, or if they're there, they only come out of one at a time. Yes. So if you put he and I together in a room, it's really quiet because we don't have much to say, you know?
Yeah,
so people say,
for not being here.
That's right. I think I'm through with him now. people say that I'm hard to get to know because I'm quiet, right? You know, I don't talk a whole lot. And you know what? If you don't say anything, it's hard to get to know you because we all communicate through language, don't we? Or mostly through language, not always, but mostly. And so it follows. If you're not going to talk, you're not going to get to be known. So how do you get to know someone? Well, we could go back to those brilliant psychologists of the human mind, Rodgers and Hammerstein, and see what they say. Okay, you just heard the song. So let's talk about it. Getting to know you, getting to hope you like me. Hear that? Suddenly I'm bright and breezy because of all the beautiful and new things I'm learning about you. Interesting. Things I'm learning about you. Getting to know what to say is another one. Okay. So one thing is coming out of just those little verses. Hoping you like me. So as you're talking to somebody, we tend to want to, you know, make ourselves likable, be pleasing in our conversation and the things that we talk about, wanting to keep things going, you know, to appear interested and open-ended questions that'll continue the conversation and show the person that you're talking to that you're interested and you want to understand them. The other thing, potential for finding beauty and new things. Well, you know what? If you enter into conversations or a relationship with somebody with this expectation, then you often do find beautiful and new things in another person, don't you? What to say? That's another thing that they brought up. Well, figuring out how to relate to somebody. You know, if somebody sits down and talks to me about football, I'm just going to kind of sit there because I don't know much about football, okay? So we got to find things that we're common ground we can relate about and talk more about as well, too. And then you can teach me about football. So, you know, part of that is where can our conversation begin? Getting to know people happens through conversation. Now, I'm not talking about talking. Not talking about talking, you understand? Talking is just getting out what you want to say. But conversation, and this is what one person, one editor used as their definition of a conversation. It's an encounter of two polished minds, tactful enough to listen, confident enough to express their true beliefs, subtle enough to search out the reasons behind the thoughts. And that's a conversation. Getting to know someone is about listening to them, about being interested in them. It's about being honest and asking questions that show that you want to know more. Remember the saying, you know, the old saying, it says, you listen not with the intent to respond, but to understand. Getting to know someone requires work and effort, as you can see. Okay, it takes a little time, and you have to do some things. You can't just, hey, how you doing? You know? You got to do a little something. Now, if you want to in your Bibles, you can turn to Philippians chapter 3. Now, it should have a place in there already because you've actually been in Philippians for the last three weeks. Father Bill preached from it 2 weeks ago. Father David preached from it last week and told us that we were downwardly mobile. And I'm preaching. And Father Bill, this is just a spoiler for you. He's thinking about preaching from Philippians again next week. So we're getting this whole study of Philippians, which, you know what? Nobody planned. It just happens. Happens in the Spirit.
Amen. God planned it.
Okay. I'm glad he told us about it. Philippians is a great letter. I think Father David told you that. last week too. It's a love letter. And if you haven't, you should read through it all. It's not real hard. It won't cause you great hardship. At least, can you understand when we have scriptures and we read them up here on Sundays, those are the scriptures for the week. And you can actually go back and meditate on those throughout the week. Cool. What a great idea. Because then next week we're going to move on. But again, Philippians is a great letter. And I'm starting with verse 10, 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. I want to know Christ. That's where all this comes from, this preamble that I've been giving you. Okay. And so in Philippians, let's back up just a couple of verses to verse 8, Philippians 3, 8. I consider, and you know what, Maria did a wonderful job of reading this. I don't think I can do it better, but I'm going to try and animate it as well as she did for you. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this, you understand, or have already arrived at my goal. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul is writing to his favorite church. Don't play favorites, right? But it sure looks like from all of his letters that this is one of his favorite churches. They have been his supporters from the first time that he met them, when he first came to Philippi. Most of them were not rich. It wasn't particularly a wealthy community that he was talking to. But despite that, it says that they have helped him financially more than any other groups, including his neighbors, the Corinthians and the Thessalonians. Of course, not the Thessalonians, you know. We have these birds in our yard, you know. Amanda puts out bird food. And the, what are they? They're the, which ones are the Thessalonians?
Titmice.
The titmice are the Thessalonians. Because they go, they're kind of like, you know, when Paul was in Thessalonica, they did that to him and then kicked him out. So we call them the Thessalonians. But these Philippians supported Paul's ministry more than anybody else financially. The Philippians are said to be hardworking people, mostly Roman or Greek. There were very few Jews. There weren't even enough Jews in Philippi to have a synagogue. Some of them are veterans of the Roman army, probably previous campaigns. Some are athletic, because Paul uses that kind of terminology in writing this book. He says, I press on to win the goal, or to press on toward the goal to win the prize. Sort of an athletic type of terminology. And so just that we're all clear about this passage, Paul isn't saying that our salvation is in doubt, that it's something that we have to work for, because we know that we can't work for it, right? That work's all done. He is saying that knowing Christ takes effort, and he must press on toward the goal to know Christ. He makes it crystal clear in these passages right here that I just read through you, verses 8 through 10, that how important his relationship with Jesus is. It is everything to him. Everything to him in his life. Nothing else matters. He considers everything else to be a loss compared to Christ, doesn't he? Everything else is garbage compared to knowing Jesus Christ. It's the single greatest thing in his life. And it's a worthy goal for all of us as well. You know, like Paul, we have to press on toward the goal of knowing Christ. The alternative is not so great. And that's what the gospel is about today. The gospel today was spoken to the Pharisees, those religious leaders, the elite of the day. They didn't want to know Christ. That's who he's talking to in Matthew there. He tells that parable about them, the parable of the vineyard, the parable of the tenants, whatever you want to call it. And in that parable, you remember the story. Who was the owner of the vineyard? God. Who are the tenants? The religious leaders. Who are the vines? The people of God. What was the vineyard? The nation of Israel. What happened? The tenants beat and killed his servants, the prophets. They killed his son, the Messiah. And then what did Jesus say? Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. You're out of here. You didn't want to know me? You like the fruit more than me. Isaiah chapter 5 is the same thing. This is the song of the vineyard. Isaiah chapter 5, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel. See, he explains the parable for us right there in Isaiah. And the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. He looked for justice. He saw bloodshed for righteousness. He heard cries of distress. Now I tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge and it will be destroyed. I will break down its walls and it will be trampled. They didn't want to know him. The kingdom was taken away. See, God wants to know and be known by all of us. God offers his son to each person on this planet. And he is the narrow way. He is the gate. He is the door. He is the only way to eternal life. And he invites us to participate in his life. You all have heard this before. Heaven doesn't start when you go away and you go up to heaven, right? It starts now because you are in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus Christ is a vibrant, energetic, responsive friend, companion, most of all, master, who cares about you and wants to share all of himself with you. Paul said he wanted to know Christ in the power of the resurrection and in his sufferings as well. And I'm like, well, you know what? I don't know if I want to know Christ in his sufferings, because he suffered quite a bit, didn't he? He was nailed to a tree. He was crucified. I don't know if I want to know that. But his sufferings are our sufferings. He came as a man to become one of us so that he could understand our sufferings. And he could relate to us. And when you suffer, when you have difficult times, when your heart is not working right, when your leg is broken, when your car breaks down, when you lose your keys, when the dog throws up on the carpet, Jesus is there with you, and he participates in your sufferings. People say, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God why he created mosquitoes. You know, I say, well, why wait? Ask him now. I'm not saying he's going to answer all your questions for you, understand, but he will answer you. And you understand, you know, if you get to heaven, he may still not tell you why he created mosquitoes. I've asked. So do you want to know Christ? I'm talking about in the way that Paul is talking about. Enthusiastically know Christ. You see, Paul was willing to die for him. He's willing to die in the same way Jesus did. Or Peter, willing to die like Christ, but not as good as Christ. He had to be upside down because he wasn't worthy. What about that kind of zeal? What about that reckless abandon for Christ? It's not that common here in the U.S., is it? We find it hard to give it all away, to call it all garbage. I know I'm not there yet. I guess that's why it's a goal to press on toward. It's okay if you aren't to that place. So how do we know Christ in our day? I mean, you think it was hard to get to know me. He's not even visible, right? He's not here with us in the flesh. How do you get to know him? Well, we got to go back to Rodgers and Hammerstein, of course. Getting to like you. Getting to hope you like me. Suddenly I'm bright and breezy because of all the beautiful new things I'm learning about you. Getting to know what to say. Hoping you like me. Pleasing God in our conversation. That's where the alleluias come in. Singing your alleluias to him is one of those ways of getting to know him. The potential of finding beauty and new things in him. God is infinite. You will always find new things in your relationship with him. And there's beauty there. And he will show you new things about yourself too. Even beautiful things. What to say? How do we relate? You know, say, well, I don't know what to say to God. I don't know how to start this thing. Well, you know what? You can start with our Father who art in heaven. And after you've said that, you can lead it into more things. You can continue with what you're feeling and be honest. It can be bad or it can be good. And you can listen. You can let him speak back to you in that little still small voice and ask him what he thinks, what he wants, and what he feels. Remember the art of conversation? Expect in him to find beautiful and new things. And what about that conversation model there? It's an encounter of two polished minds, tactful enough to listen. Enough said. Confident enough to express your true beliefs. You can say anything to God. You won't shock him. He's heard it all before. You can't lie to him either. Try to draw him out. Ask what he thinks about things. And then ask some more. He loves it. Do you want to know Christ? Then like knowing any other person, you need to do these things. You need to be honest with him. You need to talk to God with the intention of listening for answers. Like other people, he can tell if you're just talking to talk. Or if you actually care enough to listen and to hear a response with the intent to understand. He's very forgiving, but you can't fool him. And by the way, this is all good practice for your relationships here on earth in the flesh. I mean, after all, you are the salt of the earth. You are his ambassadors on earth. You are a Christian. You're supposed to care. People say I don't talk much. Sometimes I wonder if I'm waiting for someone to listen. Paul says, I want to know Christ. Paul has a desire to know Christ, a desire to find out more, a reckless abandon to throw everything else down in order to know Jesus Christ. And so now it's honesty time. Do you really want to know Christ? So I think it's all about desire. If you don't desire to know him or know him any more than you do, or don't desire to hear him, then you won't. And what a shame for you. Not to know the one who cares for you, the one who has forgiven you, the one who will die for you. The one who will never leave you. The one who loves you more than any other person on earth can ever love you. Wouldn't you want to know him? I mean, you have all the tools, okay? You've heard all the sermons. You know all about Christ. Do you desire to know him? Because that's all we need is the desire. That's why Paul talks about it as if it were a race or a quest or a goal to be reached. Because it's not easy. It's hard to lay things down, but it takes practice as well, too. It takes time. It takes love. It takes patience on your part. Perseverance. We need to get to the place where we can say that everything else compared to knowing Christ is garbage. That's not easy. But we can press on toward the goal for which he has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Press on toward the goal. You have the desire, I know you do, or you wouldn't be here today. So I want to know Christ. Anyone with me? Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.